This morning, our reading out of the Gospels and a reading for the sermon comes out of Luke in chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, and then 21 through 22, where we focus on the baptism of Jesus, you know, as Luke has his baptism recorded. So I invite you to hear these words starting at verse 15 of chapter 3 out of Luke's Gospel. As the people were filled with expectation, all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah. John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we go through life, we have many moments that are special, that are significant, moments of initiation, even, no rites, perhaps that mark a certain point in life and time. And in the life of the church, we have several of these markers of life, of the Christian experience, one being baptism, and another being confirmation, where we proclaim our faith, or claim our faith as our own. And we also have, later on in life, you can even say, your wedding, your marriage could be a part of that faith experience. And even our funerals are expression of our faith and marking of that point in our life when we go on to live eternally, with God. And if you think about your life also, perhaps there's other markers of importance in life. Perhaps it's graduating from school, perhaps taking that first job, or even if in the case of my family, getting that first buck when you're going out hunting is kind of a mark, a mark in life there. Or perhaps, taking on the family business for yourself, or taking on the farm. I mean, there's all these marks in life that are important, that mark that something special happened here, a unique thing happened here, a part of my life happened here in this moment, in this space, and going forward, I am not the same. There's all kinds of these markers throughout our lives. Some of those marks are big, some of them are small, but they are there. They're a part of our experience. This mark here where Jesus was baptized was one of those marks, one of those moments where something important happened, a sacred moment happened in the life of Christ. Now, a question I love so much about this, because I think it's an important question, it's a good question to have when we're talking about the baptism of Christ, is if we think of Christ being fully human and fully divine, and we see that he had perfection, he was without sin, then why would Jesus need to be baptized? I think it's a great question for us to consider. And when we look at that baptism of Christ, we see that moment where he went into that Jordan River, with John, and the water was poured onto him in that life-giving river in that dry country. In that moment there, I believe Jesus identified himself with us in that moment, and he modeled a life of faith as well by being baptized, marking that initiation into the family of God, marking that new beginning, marking that restart and that refreshing moment in life. In the Methodist Church, folks are baptized, when we are young, it could be a young infant. I was baptized as a young infant, or if it's later in life as an adult. I mean, we are open. Whenever you are ready to be baptized, the doors are open there. I think that's a good thing. You know, that we are open in our practice of how baptism is done, when it is done. In fact, I'm actually a big believer this year. Well, I believe, and I believe every word I said earlier about that this being a sacred space here, if folks were wanting to go be baptized down the Arkansas River, I am so game, but not today. Because it is cold out there. I mean, yes, a polar bear swim is rejuvenating and refreshing, but we don't need to do baptism, you know, quite like that. However, I have seen videos, we saw videos of this when I was in seminary, of our Russian brothers and sisters being baptized at this time of year, or maybe it was May, I'm not sure which, by how cold it looked. And it is a quick experience for our Russian brothers and sisters when they are baptized in the lake or the river. But I think that openness there, you know, of how we see this, you know, reflects how we see God is open to us. That when we come to faith, you know, regardless of where that is in our life, our God is there. Our God is open to us. Our God is, you know, excited that we become a part of the family of God, that we've taken those steps in faith, that we are renewed and restored, that we are washed of all the things that kept us separated from God. That we are made a new person, that we are renewed. I believe our God is open to us, excited for us when we take those steps of faith, regardless of when they are or even where they are. When I was up here with the kids, you know, talking about the water that's, you know, here in this space, I think it's no accident that water is a part of our ritual, our mark of initiation to the faith, because there are so many, you know, things about water, so many properties, you know, with water that are so essential to our life. You know, I was thinking this morning when I got up, you know, one of the first things I do is take a drink of water out of the faucet. You know, we need that water, that nourishment, you know, to keep us going. And then I use water, you know, in the making, you know, of coffee, another life-giving element right there. But, you know, we use water in the making of our food. We use water to clean ourselves when we're in the shower. There are so many uses of water that are so important to our daily living, our everyday moment living. Yet it is one of the most common things you can find on the surface of our planet, yet so necessary for our life. And where Jesus was baptized there in the Jordan River, you know, there in that part of the world where it's, you know, dry and, you know, the weather can be uncertain, you know, that Jordan River was a life-giving, you know, part of their geography. It was a life-giving for the people who lived there. You know, they're able to get some water off that for irrigation, you know, for their fields. I mean, I feel when we look at the Arkansas River here even, if you look at some pictures, you know, of the Jordan, you know, it's not a big river by any means. It's no Mississippi River. It's actually more like what we see here at the Arkansas. And we know how much life that the water in the Arkansas gives for us here, for our communities, how important it is, you know, for, you know, life around here. It's an important part of our everyday being. And Christ was baptized in those common everyday, that common everyday element that is so critical for our life and our well-being. And when we are baptized with these waters here, when we are baptized there with this common everyday substance that has so many life-giving properties and so many life-giving meanings for us, and we remember that Jesus was baptized with the same water, it connects us with our God. Christ identifies himself with us and our lives. What I think is so important about the Christian faith is how our God took on human form in Jesus Christ. It is no accident that Christ was born, you know, to Mary and had no parents there and in the stable in Bethlehem, no born as no human being would be born. And I believe because of that experience that Christ had on this earth, because Christ walked among, you know, God's people, you know, God got to experience what life is like being a person here on this earth. And I believe that's so important for us, because when we have those moments of challenge and difficulty, when we have those moments of uncertainty, our God gets it. And then when we struggle in faith, we struggle in feeling that God cares for us, our God gets it. Those words out of our Old Testament reading today are actually words that are very special to me personally. They're the words that Christina and I used in our wedding. This was a scripture read at our wedding in chapter 43 of Isaiah in verse 2 especially. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I believe these words are important for us, not because they were given to a people long ago who struggled in their connection with God and the uncertainty of life and the hardship of life that was before them, but they're important for us today because I believe it reminds us and reconnects us that when we go through life, our God gets it and goes with us. And as we take time today to be restored, to be renewed, to be refreshed in our baptismal covenant, and to experience these words and the water here, it's a reminder for us that our God has identified with us, has taken the same act as well. And when we struggle going forward, uncertain, not sure of what the flames will be or what those waters are doing in our lives, or when it's incredibly gray outside like it is today, our God is there. Our God goes with us, and our God understands the troubles we have in this world. And I believe because of that, God's grace is even more abundant, more with us, and even made more real for us. Because our God understands. Our God has been there. Christ has experienced this world, breathing the air that I breathe, and interacting with the world as I would interact physically, you know, touching, feeling, tasting, sensing, all those ways. Our God is with us. And in the act of baptism, Christ has said, "Yes, I am there with you." But also we are marked as God's beloved. We are marked as a part of the family of God. We are made new and restored and refreshed. Brothers and sisters, let's hold on to these waters. Let's hold on to the life-giving properties of this water for all that it does for us, for all the renewal we experience, the new beginning, the new life that we have in Christ. Let us experience these waters. In fact, after worship, if you'd like to interact with this water here, I invite you to do so. For I believe by remembering our baptism, by experiencing that grace and being reminded of that grace, we can go forward, restored and refreshed and reminded of how our God is with us. Amen.